So let's open our Bibles this morning to Ecclesiastes as Edmund shares the seasons of CCSP together.
Amen. Men's retreat. Interesting. Ed Taylor, Calvary Chapel Downey in California is where he's from. He was children's ministry leader. And that's where Martha and I, we both got saved at Downey. So that's our connection. But there's a whole lot more I could talk about on that. And then Bob that is coming with him, he was a missionary in England, and I taught at his church while we were in Germany. So it's a really small world, you know. But this morning, as we gather today and look at the topic, because I had a completely different study, and I was already almost halfway done, and the Lord just shut it down and had me to teach what I'm about to teach you. So I know something is going on, so I hope your hearts are open to understand what the Spirit wants to do. So here we go. We see in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want to read verses 1 through 8. He says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Lord, we come before you as we consider, Lord, your word. We pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would pour down and anoint this time together, that the ears of your children would hear what your Spirit is saying. Lord, may the anointing be evident by the lives that will be changed. So we give you thanks. And we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. There are different seasons. And this is something when I think about Solomon, the wisest man, had everything, power, money, you name it. And then at some point in his life, he began to say, I want to just figure out these things in life. What is life? And he began to pursue everything that we can think of. And that's when you begin to read his writings and see that, wow, he came out with some interesting things. But in this text, he says, in everything there is a season. And that's what he, as the most powerful man on the earth, with wisdom beyond measure, began to realize how life is. And sometimes we just got to be reminded about life and what it's all about, because when things don't seem to be going the right way, then that can throw us off. That can cause us to maybe to stumble. But we got to realize, as Solomon will end up realizing, it's all about God and what God is doing in man. And we got to come to that same conclusion. What is God doing in our life? And I would say, during this time, or should I say, during this season of your life. And this is why I'm bringing this topic up, because my wife and I, we're here now at this church about 3 years. Okay, so we're the newbies. Okay, some of you we've talked to. Some of you guys were way back in the little home fellowship, and you have went from all these different areas where the church started, and therefore you experienced some of the things that I don't know about. And there's many other people that have come since that don't know about some of those seasons of CCPS, SP, and what was happened there during those early days. And those are great things. You can't deny what God was doing in those days. But when it comes now to us, when it comes down to the individual, the believer who has said yes to Jesus, we got to remember, because the Word of God tells us that God has a purpose in time, especially the time that you and I are allowed to be here on this earth, called life. What does He have in store for us? Well, the scripture is clear when you read chapter 8 of Romans that God, in this thing called life, has proposed a work that is being done. And in that work called life, this time frame, He's conforming us into the image of His Son. Now, that is not something that's going to happen overnight. That is something that happens through the day to day, month to month, year to year, and all the way till we say, Lord, and we enter into His presence. That is something that I want to look at. And if you would with me, please understand, I'm not teaching on this topic or this verse here, but I want to look at Psalms, because I know we're in Psalms on Sunday. But Psalms chapter 1, notice what it says. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Then notice, that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So we see, as God's people, something happened in each one of our lives. We come to this place on a regular basis to sit under the Word of God, and here we have the water of the Word refreshing us and causing growth to happen in our lives. And yet, we see throughout the scripture, God is looking for fruit. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the first thing we all must come to and realize is that our life is connected to a greater thing than what we just see. We got to start dealing with the spiritual things. And this is important, because if a person can begin to realize in this life where you're walking, what is happening, there's a spiritual connection. There's something behind why you're going through what you're going through at the very moment. And you got to begin to bring that to the forefront, not just put it in the back, but bring it to the forefront and begin to say, okay, God, what are you doing? It's all about the inner man, because we know we're made of body, but we got to remember we got the soul and the spirit. And we got to keep that in the forefront, because God's concern with you and I is the inner man. All of us, one thing we do for sure have in common is that this body is going to die. All of us will be put in the ground at one point or another. But your soul and your spirit, this is what we need to talk about. This is what we need to consider, because there are seasons in life, And this is what Solomon understood. And he sees the difference between the human, whether good or evil, and what they do and what happens, whether he's a hard worker or not a hard worker. He begins to reveal all these things in his writings. Yet we see seasons reveal growth of some sort. And that's what we need to understand, because one of the things that I know for sure, I know with me, but I'm sure it's with you as well, spiritual growth is something that brings an awareness of your own sinfulness. This is something that when a Christian has given their lives over to Christ, they begin to realize, because listen, to confess sin, which we have to, is to agree with God that we are sinning, or the thing that we're doing is sin. So we have to come to a point to realize the thing that we're doing is wrong in the eyes of a holy God, and we have to agree with him. Yes, I confess that what I'm doing is wrong, therefore, now I repent. So there's a lot of interesting parts to this that we need to understand. But I want you to hear a statement that Spurgeon, the man of God, said. He said this, "I am certain that I never did grow in grace one half so much anywhere as I have on the bed of pain." Interesting. This is coming a little bit home to Calvary Chapel South Pitt, because we all know our pastor was on the bed of pain just recently. And then there's other people, because I see the prayer requests that the church has, and we're seeing many people going through some things right now. And so, and that's the people that put the request in. And so I'm imagining there's probably people that have not, that are in this room even now, or that are listening online. And so what is God doing in your bed of pain is now a question. Because there's a seasons that we go through. And I understand these seasons are sometimes just overwhelming. And how do we deal with this? But the question then comes to, as I go through the things that I'm going through, how do I deal with the truth that already has been spoken to me? But the question then, I have to think, because I know how it is, because I went through a time and a season of medical problems, and I remember that season. But yet, stopping and thinking about it, okay, what was I thinking prior to all that? You know, what was happening right before that thing happened to me? And that caused me to stop and think, what season was I in during that time? And you and I got to look, because you're all here on Sundays. Some of you guys are here on Wednesdays. And I don't know, maybe you go to also a home fellowship. And that's wonderful and that's good. But I just know, in the Christian walk, in that place where the Christian is to be taking in the nourishments that God has given them, like that tree planted, there's growth that starts happening. There should be the growth. The leaves should be green and healthy. All that should be there. But why, or what would stop that from happening? And I know sometimes it's complacency. Sometimes the church, we come, you know, this, we know we're supposed to be here. That's one thing we know. Christians, we're supposed to be here. But when you come, let me see this one picture. Is it like, okay, when is this guy going to be done? Because there's people that come to church and that happens. Maybe there's something in your mind. I got to study. I got to do this. I got the food. We're having guests coming over. And you're zoned out. You're not even hearing what I'm saying. Or the pastor who's teaching the word. You are completely zoned out when you come to church. Because other things have your focus. But then there's another picture. I've seen that. When is this guy going to be done? And I know it. Hey, we got a pastor. We got a Pastor Tim. He likes to preach, and I love that. He's not the 1 hour guy. All right? 1 hour is that's a shorty. But listen, there's a lot of churches that half hour in the word. That's, to me, that's the sermonette churches. And when I think about it, we have 365 days a year with 24 hours. That comes out to 8,760 hours a year we have. We got 52 weeks. Now, with Pastor Tim, I would say hour and a half teaching. So with that, that's 78 hours a year of teaching on a Sunday you're getting from him. If you go to Wednesdays, of course, 52, that I would say an hour. So now you got 52 hours there. So basically, for the year, you have 130 hours of spiritual nourishment going towards you. Okay, praise the Lord if you do other studies or if you have your own studies at home. But I know a lot of people are busy and fighting to keep your devotion life is a common thing. Some have victory over it. A lot of people don't. Out of 8,760 hours, that life that you have in 1 year, 130 hours is feeding your spirit. So when you come, if you're like this, or you're already thinking, when is this going to be done? That's a health issue spiritually. How about the next one? Are you like this guy? Mr. Bean, trying to stay awake. Hey, are you prepared? Because some people, they have no problem partying or staying up really late on Saturdays, but this is where you come to church like this. And are you receiving 130 hours for the year? How much is this stealing away? These three phases is stealing away with God's word coming into your life to conform you into the image of Christ. You see, this is just facts. This is just real, what I'm telling you here, okay? And so we have to realize that this type of stuff or complacency within the church is something that kills the growth in each one of us spiritually. And we got to realize something, that it's important that we come and we begin to study God's word. Because in the Word of God, we began to see throughout the Scriptures the people that we look up to, the people that we know the stories of. We learned of them as a kid, many stories, only to see when we're adults other verses concerning those same people, but now we're seeing their failures. We learn a lot of the good stories as children, the victories and the great things they did. But a student of the Word of God will end up finding in these wonderful saints a lot of failures. These things are written, the Bible tells us, these examples, so we will grow by them. We'll learn by them. These are there for our instruction, the Bible says. And so it's important that we all look at that, because this topic, this looking at the examples of people from the Old Testament, now we can even say New Testament, but I can even say church history, all these people, in fact, even us this morning. What you did last week, it's not something present. It's not something future. It's something that already happened. It's already the past. Therefore, it falls under the category of history. So this learning by example of those godly saints that already done things, this is called historical theology. We look at the Bible, like many Bible studies, I know a lot of women, they do character studies of the saints. And so when you look at the character, of course you're going to see the good, but you can also see the bad. And why? So here we have this important thing to consider. What is happening in our season? And in the season, the reactions. Because it's going to be history of your life and my life, how we handled it. Here's another interesting quote. Vance Havner. Notice what he says here. Vance says this: God would have us not merely to take a stand, he would have us to walk. Too many have taken a stand and are still standing. For years they have made no progress. Listen, I know Christians that make a stand on, you know, anti-abortion, which is good. And they go and do this. They go and they stand up for political reasons. All these things. School, they're in the schools, fighting for the schools. And this needs to happen. But when you focus on something so much to the point that that's all it is, what's happening in the background in your life? This is something that we always got to consider, because like Vance says, hey, you can take a stand, but are you still progressing in the faith? You personally growing? What is God doing in your life? Yes, everything you're preaching over here on that topic is true, but are you still growing and falling in love with the Lord? There's also been something that's been said, and it's this. One of the reasons that we're still on the earth is for the purpose of growing. Listen, we don't want to be a baby and be crying about, oh, he's taking too long. Oh, he talked about this. I know he's talking about me. Someone must have told the pastor. No, it's the word of God that is cutting and doing the surgery, trying to get rid of certain things. And that's something that you and I want to make sure that the word is doing to each one of us. Now, I would say that, of course, coming to church and when the sinner comes, just like I did, a druggie, a complete out of control, into the bad things, and the Holy Spirit working brought that point in my life that I knew that I need to do something. Because all in the 70s and in the 60s, it was rough. And all the drug culture was happening, and a lot of my friends around me were overdosing. And they were gone. And that brought the question, where did they go? I know they're gone, but where did they go to? And so that You know, that brought up a point in my mind and my heart is like, man, I don't want to go to hell, because I knew there was a hell. And I said, hey, when I heard the message, the gospel that one day, I came down that aisle to the front and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's a wonderful thing. You can't say nothing bad or negative about that. But, and I'm assuming everyone in this room has done that. That you made a decision that Jesus Christ paid for your sins and you surrendered your life to him. But let me ask you, in that surrendering, because there must be a surrendering. In the surrendering, is there spiritual progress? Is there spiritual growth? Okay? Because there's seasons. This is something that is important in every believer, because it was the grace of God that came down to you and I as sinners that woke us up somehow, that we would even think about Jesus on the cross. Would you even consider what he's done? It was grace reaching down and touching. Then, you know, we gave our lives. We said, okay, God, I give you my life. But now, the process at that point just begun. And is the sufficiency of God's grace there in your life? And is it, yes, Lord, I accept that? Because you know the story, and I know the story. Paul the apostle kept praying, Lord, would you heal me? Three times. The man of God, powerful. But whatever was going down in his life, he prayed, Lord, would you deliver me from this? But he had to come to a point where he said, God, your grace is sufficient. Have you and I done that? That we can just say, God, whatever you're doing in my life, this season that I'm in, I don't understand it. I don't know what you're doing at the moment, but I'm going to say your grace is sufficient for me. And live in that. You see, this is something not all Christians, a lot of Christians will fight against this. They will not say that to God. They're going to battle. But yet, listen to the Puritan John Favell said this, the keeping and the right managing of the heart in every condition is the greatest business of the Christian life. Listen to that. That is so important, because you might have something and you have a whole different thing going on. I have something else going on that I got to deal with. And I don't know your condition and the depths of it, but how are you managing it is the question. Because I have to manage it the same way. There is no other way. We all, as God's people, under the grace of God, have to learn how to manage this so-called walk with Jesus, this Christian life. How do we deal with that? And this is something that is so important, because, listen, one thing we do know, and I know this, that the scripture tells us in John 15 that about the Father, he's the one pruning. Hey, I can't imagine, but imagine what the tree looks when he sees these clippers coming at him, going, oh, well, we do the same thing. When God is coming and he's going to do some trimming and some pruning, those clippers don't look charming or inviting. They are something, though, that will end up benefiting us. That is something that, you know, in the end will bring greater growth and a sweeter fruit. That's one thing I had to learn. We had, in California, we had two plum trees in our backyard. Good plum trees. But I learned about pruning. And when you prune, oh, how much different the sweetness of the fruit comes. You can have a bunch of fruit, but they're bitter. But when you learn how to prune and do it right, the fruit becomes more sweeter. And that's important because God, as the one pruning our lives through all the different situations, because in this room, I guarantee you, there's many situations going on. And these circumstances that we find ourselves in is really to help us to mature and to get that sweetness of life into each one of us. And you know what? It's the change. It's the change of character. The character that needs to be adjusted. Attitude adjustments. I remember that's what my boss used to tell me when people, all these men would be all the, you know, man stuff, all the pride, and we would be arguing. He would say, you guys need an attitude adjustment. Yeah, it's true. And this is what God uses. He uses these things in life to begin to adjust our lives to what it needs to be. And bring it up to the spiritual level that he's doing. He's doing a work in us. He began the work, as we sang, and he's faithful, and he's going to complete it. Because why? The Bible tells us when Jesus comes back to reign, the very first song we sang, Jesus will reign, but we come to reign with him. And so this time on earth, we are being trained to reign, okay? Because imagine your attitudes right now. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but imagine your attitude right now. If you were given by Jesus to rule over a city, what would that city look like? Would they be complaining? Because, you know, we complain about even today about certain mayors and all that and the bad attitudes and what they don't do and what they should be doing. And would you in the kingdom, as you reign with Christ, what kind of person are you going to be? That's why he's doing all this right now and in each one of us. There is purpose behind what Jesus is doing. And this is important because, listen, look at this quote. I love it because it says this, maturity is the stage where the person's whole life has been brought under the control of God. Interesting. This is, there's a point where we have to just fall on our knees and just say, okay, Lord, I give up. I've been trying to do it my way. I give up. I want to learn your way. I want to be like you when this comes. This person that I always have to deal with and fight with, when they come next time, I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm going to be more like you. See, these type of things, these are the day-to-day things, but don't underestimate what God is doing in your heart and mind. Because this is a season where he's working and making us more and more into the image of Christ. We learn, notice, with Acts chapter 17, a very popular verse. It says this, Acts 17:11. He says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they, received the word. Not everybody receives the word when they come to church. You hear it, but did you receive it? That's a big difference. You got to receive it. I could pass out all kinds of stuff. There's many things in the back, flyers and stuff. You can know about it, but did you receive it to the point that where it instructs you what to do? Well, you gotta take the word. It says, they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. It's important that you and I become students of the word. Coming to church is one thing to hear. If you're not a student, if you're not engaged and you're thinking, okay, like, I'm going to be tested on this. And believe me, you will. That's the process. You will be tested on everything you're learning in the Word of God. So it's good to take notes. It's good to understand what you're being taught, okay? And search it out. That's where you will begin. I guarantee you, your life will be changed if you become a student of the Word. It's different than churchgoers, because most churchgoers are not receiving. They're here. And we saw the different three levels of different types of people. But listen, the Word of God is so important, because look at the Word of God says this, that word noble or fair-minded, it means morally good or superior in nature or character. Wow. To be that type of person within the church is that God is doing, because they were receiving the word, they were searching it out, and it begins to mold you. It begins to transform you. It begins to conform you. That's why it's so important, this very thing, that coming to church with a prepared heart, and I'm telling you, it's a season of learning, and it brings a growth that is amazing, because these people, these Bereans, they had a high biblical standard, especially how they researched the truth. The truth is very important, because I'm telling you, Jesus, when he talks about end times, and I think most of us believe we're living in end times, the greatest thing that he warned us is not the earthquakes, the famines, and all that kind of stuff, even though we see it. The greatest thing he warns is deception. Four times, deception is coming. So if you don't know what the truth is, you're going to be deceived, most likely. It's just plain fact. Plain fact. So if you come to church, so what, you're coming to church, but if you're not receiving the word and searching it out, you're a candidate to be deceived in the future, because the deception is going to be hardcore. We have no clue. We have just, this generation has entered a whole new realm with AI, because now look at, they can make a video of me preaching right now heresy, and it will have my voice, my mouth saying, and it could be saying anything, and it's not me. It has changed. Everything changed recently, and it's gonna get worse. So we gotta be careful. Here we see that digging into the word brings a blessed understanding of truth. And truth has to be searched after. Okay, one of the things I know is this. If we want to grow, we got to be in the word. Point one. But it is that truth coming in and saturating our hearts, that is when our hearts begin to change, because the Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked, right? Who can know it? Only God understands. I could say the nicest things. I could be up here preaching, but you don't know really. Really? Do you really, really know? No, you don't. And we have nice church people dressed up regularly, but what's going on during the week? What's going on in your private? See? You know what you do. I don't. But it can look good. This is where I'm saying, where we need the word, the truth of God's word, to transform us. to change us. And let me ask you this question. Because now we've been talking about in this church this year, especially when we went through Galatians, the law versus grace. You know, the law would say, hey, you got to do this. You need to keep this. You got to, you know, all these rules and regulations. But when you got saved and received eternal life, was it by your own human effort? No, it wasn't. It was by the grace of God working in your life, and is still working by grace in your life. That's the truth. Well, if that was the way you received eternal life, how about your Christian life that you're walking in? Is it by your own human effort? Or is it by the grace of God? This is where we got to begin to see, because that's why the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is our helper. And believe me, we need help. And the helper comes alongside of us, and he's there to help us in all these different situations. And this is so important. But most of all, what is so beautiful, the Holy Spirit is given to all. When you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within. He seals us, the Bible says, which is important. But let's look at a verse that I think is important. Philippians 1:29. Paul, again, he's been through it as a Christian. And he says this, for to you it has been granted or given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Ooh. What about that? What about that? That's an interesting verse. Not only to believe, but also to suffer. What is Paul going on this topic, on this verse? And it's very important, because we see the Greek word. Notice what it looks. It says the phrase, it is given or granted, is the Greek charista, which is derived from the two words charis, which is grace, and charisma, which is gift. This word right here, for it's been given or granted to you on behalf of Christ, that you believe, but also to suffer. Notice the combination of these two words to the Christian life. It means that salvation, yes, is a gift of grace, but also suffering is as well. God looks at the suffering, what he's doing in our lives, as a gift. How is that? Because suffering, even as Pastor Tim talked about, and I understand it, and anybody that has been on a hospital bed and suffering, that's when you finally, for sure, you look up. God uses these times to deal with each one of us. Sometimes it's in a small little inconvenience, if you want to call it suffering. But then there's some where he has to get our attention, and he allows things. But it's under the category of grace. He's awakening us, which some people need to be awakened. And this is something that the scripture is definitely clear. So you got to have the right understanding of what God is doing. Otherwise, you could get angry at God. You could have a total wrong thinking about what he's doing. When I was in Germany, pastoring there, and I could understand afterwards, hindsight, I brought up a point in Revelation. I was teaching on Revelation chapter 2, and it mentions that Jesus is going to return and wage war He's going to make war on the earth. And they lost it. I had a line of people coming afterwards to talk to me. But there was people shaking their heads. They were disagreeing with the word of God. Why? Because they had suffered, especially their grandparents and the after effects in these German homes from World War II, from Hitler. All that they suffered, all that their families went through, and all the deception and how the world looks at them as Germans, they were saying, war is no good, negative, out. And I said, hey, whoa. They were saying that what I was teaching was wrong, it was false. And I said, wait, how is that false? I just read you the scripture. Jesus is coming to make war on the earth. You either agree with what the word says, or you're going by what you feel. And same thing with suffering. Sometimes we feel, Lord, this is not right. It's wrong. Hey, it isn't. Under God's grace, He's allowing you to suffer. He's allowing you to do that and go through that so you might look up. Look at what it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Very important. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How do we deal with that verse? That's the word of God. What we go through, listen, the Bible's saying, day by day, God is faithful. He's working day by day in us. Through the circumstances, through the testing, through the proving, you say you believe? Well, okay, let's see if you believe. And you're put to the test. I'm put to the test. We're all put to the test if we claim the name of Jesus. Because He's doing a work in the inward man, and He wants us to see. And yet, light afflictions. Paul went through, to me, they're not so light, but sometimes we complain on little things. But this brother, he went through some intense things. So the inward working of God, hey, listen, it's all going to be worth it in the end. That's what we got to hold on to, that what God is doing in our lives, it's all worth it. And we got to make sure we don't lose that. And again, just because I'm older and I've been in church, got saved when we were 21, my wife and I, been many, many places, been in ministry for many, many years, and I know and I see how God has worked in many different people's lives. And I know how the Word of God works. And He is able to do all these amazing things. But listen, it's a lesson. Are the lessons being learned? Because maybe we have a problem with trust. Well, then God's going to say, let me bring you a little short course about trusting me. Or how about not being patient? Oh, okay. He knows how to deal with that. He knows how to deal with endurance. He knows how to deal with our obedience and our faithfulness. God understands what needs to happen. But now when we begin to look at the trials that come our way, very important. Afflictions. You know, I was thinking about Pastor Tim, all that he's gone through. And I know there's others that have gone through some things. And yet, I'm saying, okay, all right, Lord, what is going on at this time at this church? Why and what is going on that I need to see? Because are you speaking to me through that? Because, like, again, historical theology, I'm looking at not only disciples and all that, but I'm looking at Pastor Tim. That's already his history, what just happened to him. And what did he learn? Because that message that he gave about his affliction, there's a lot to learn from that. All right? Anybody's testimony, what they go through, is important to pay attention. Because what did God speak to them during that time is so important. But you know what? There's people that would look at this whole topic and say, oh, no. Not this test, no. What's happening to me, no. No. And they don't believe it. It's a test that they're in. This is just happen chance, or this is just life. And when they begin to go through something, maybe it's been going on for a long time. It's just like, why won't this stop? But they won't say it's the Lord doing this, because that would admit that, hey, maybe there's sin in their life they got to deal with, or maybe God is trying to bring maturity, and therefore they're immature in that area. And they would say, pride would say, no, not me. This is a problem. This is common. Or there's others that would say, hey, my God, if that's what he's doing, then forget it. And they would say, just like this song, we just sang, God doesn't abandon us. Well, some people would say, God did abandon me, and get bitter. You see some Christians, how can you be a Christian and be that bitter? I don't understand. But there are some people that are get that way, and then therefore they just begin to let their guard down, and they begin to live according to the flesh. And you see that fleshly nature come out that's not nice. There's others that would say, oh no, all this that is going on in my life right now, it's from Satan, it's demonic. And they would not say that God is letting them go through and maturing them, that it is God that is using this time and season for a reason. They would not say that. It's only negative. But we see the true, what we got to look at is how Paul understood it. And Paul understood that this is God working in me to grow me up. That's what's happening, and God is going to get the glory, because when I come through it, that's his work in my life. And God gets the glory for doing that. So listen, how do we deal with this verse? Acts chapter 14, verse 22. He says, strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, because some can't hang. This is too bad. I can't handle this no more. And Paul was saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Christians don't like to listen to this kind of stuff. We want the easy street, right? Who doesn't want easy street? We all want easy street. But this is truth right here. And yet, it's through this test, what happens? Notice, Galatians chapter 5, it gives us a list of the evidence of the flesh. Listen, we're hooked in, many of us. We're not off the line. Maybe we broke the line, but we still got the hook. All these different sins Paul mentions. And he said, hey, that's the flesh. And that's what God's dealing with. He's purifying his church, his bride. He's doing a work. He has to. He cannot leave us the same. And so we see how this is so important. And I understand for myself as pastors. I mean, there's different pastors in this room. I've been to pastors' conferences. And some of the things we hear that happen. I've seen pastors be in the flesh. They didn't deal with it. And we got to realize there's a work that God wants to do. And it doesn't matter, hey, I've been in the church this long and I have this name tag on. So what? My question is, what is the desire or that spiritual place that you and I want to attain to? That's the question. Do we want growth? That is something that the Christian got to deal with in their own personal life. What do you want? Because I know, listen, I've been in the ministry the day I got saved, 1979 at the end, and 1980 in the beginning, I joined Bible school. Okay? I wanted to learn the Bible. I didn't know what a Pharaoh was. I didn't know any biblical stuff. Right? Zero. Went to Bible school and I was just blown away. Like, what? What is this? Well, doing all that, I realized in ministry, church, going, and I ended up going to mega churches somehow. They weren't mega when I was first went. They ended up becoming mega. And when you get into a church that is very active and growing, you get people that want to get involved. It's kind of like, hey, it's a winning team. I want to be involved in the winning team. And when they do, what is the reason why they want the ministry? Because they want the name, the title of the winning team. Like, I'm the quarterback, or I'm the running back. I'm this person. I'm that person. I'm important in this team. Don't you know? And so when we become like that, listen, that's messed up, because that's showing evidence of the flesh getting into ministry. That's why it's so important that spiritual progress and growth is happening, so that when they do get into ministry, that the ministry stays healthy. You see? You get the picture. You guys are awful quiet there. Okay? This is important. I'm telling you. Because Jesus has to be in it all. He has to be making it happen. Now, here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also, listen, effectively works in you who believe. You got to believe. The word of God wants and will work effectively in you, making you that person, preparing you for that ministry. This is what he wants to do. The word has effect if you receive it. It's not coming from me. I'm just giving you verses. This is in the Bible. You got to receive it and believe it, and God will do that, because listen, the effect, as we see in John chapter 15, verse 3, he says, you are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. The word begins to clean, and that's important. It begins actually to break things, bad habits, chains that we were bound to certain things, characteristics that are not godly or Christ-like, he begins to break those things and change us, again, conforming us. But then also, when you begin to work in faith, here we have another. Listen, the Word of God has to be believed and walked in by faith. And because why? God has a plan and a purpose in the whole thing. In the whole thing. Listen, this is what we begin to see. If we begin to receive, obey, and rely on Him, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, he says, "For a great and effective door has been opened to me, but there are many adversaries." Very important here. Doors begin to open. And that's important. Do you realize, church, that's what's happening with Xander and Olivia? They have been faithful here, serving. They have been people of the Word, as it's evident as they speak and the things that they do. They have now, in this season of life, a door has been opened. The church, there is, from Calvary Chapel, South Pittsburgh, a church plant. You got to realize how important and how big of an event it is for this church. That this church is giving birth. It's giving birth, people, to a new church, to a new work. And it comes out of there, here, there, right here. Your influence, your blessings, and your prayers are going to make the world of difference in a whole new work and a whole new Calvary Chapel. And people are going to get saved. And if you're part of the prayers, some of that will be put into account when you stand before the Lord, that you interceded for them. But yet I know, as a leader, that, hey, they went from one season, and now they're entering another season. Because the pastorate is not glamorous sometimes. You got to deal with sinners. People like you, right? People that, you know, church people. And then yet be blessed by people who are in love with Jesus that comes alongside and say, "Hey, I want to help you. How can I pray for you?" There's so much stuff in this season of their life that they're about to enter into. I love what this godly man said. He said, "Looking over my 90 years, I realized I have never made any progress in good times. I only progressed in the hard times." And that is so true. I understand that. Having a church in Germany, starting from scratch, raising it up, turning it over, and leaving. There was a lot of stuff. You can't even imagine. I could tell you lots of stories. And the stories are just coming right now for Xander. And this progress is going to happen. There's going to be pruning going on. He has to pick leaders. And who's going to be next to him? And there's prunings that God's going to have to make some things happen to make the things grow. And so this is what I'm telling you. But yet, any pastor, listen, this is important. Isaiah, this is the heart of a pastor here. It should be, at least. He says this. Isaiah 50, verse 4, it says, "The Lord God has given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as to the learned." That's important. There are times where ministries, churches are going through things, and God's pastors, leaders, and even you ministering one unto another, need to be prepared for that season. And that's important. Because why? It tells us in Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due seasons we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And believe me, in ministry, you can lose heart. But yet, remember, seasons are God's opportunity to work in each one of us. And as I close and begin to look at this, Pastor Tim, when I think about him and I think about all the positions that we have here as teachers, there's got some great pastors here. We have ladies that are teaching the word to the Jan and her team. And it tells us in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season to convince, to rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So we see that, listen, spiritual growth has its connection to what is being taught in the church. And so we need to get that for sure understood. But as I close, two things. Spiritual growth depends on two things here. Notice what it says. First, a willingness to live according to the word of God. That's very important. Number two, a willingness to take whatever consequences emerge as a result. Because it does. You want to live for Jesus? You want to do something for his name? Things happen. Spiritual things happen. You got an enemy. There's adversaries out there. They don't want you to grow. They don't want you to be effective for Jesus. There is a war out there. And so we got to look at this. But as a pastor, one of the things I do know, because how do I know? Because my wife and I, we have been over 20-something countries preaching the word. And every, I don't care what tongue, what nations, there's a common thread. You know what the common thread of defeat is? A church that doesn't pray. That's the common. That's the most. That's number one. You can have great Bible teachers. You can have people coming, hearing the word. But when it comes to praying, that is the weakest. Nationwide. That's just the human thing. Why is it? Because when we pray, we enter into the spiritual realm. We are believing that our God is hearing, who we can't see. We are praying by faith, something we can't see. And we are now having to believe that he will answer us. We enter into a different level, and a lot of people don't want to go into that level. Why is it? Is it immaturity? Is it complacency? What is it? But prayer has to change. And one of the things I see is this, and which is true, as Martha and I, one day we were driving, I forget where we were at, but we saw a sign, and it said this, God still reads knee mail. Right? He does. Prayer is important. And as we look at the prayer request, this is a prayer request right now for this church, and it's that of the new church plant. Okay? We got to keep Xander and Olivia in prayer and their family. They have a lot on their plate. We have this event we mentioned, this salsa event. We're praying that there's going to be ladies that will come that don't know the Lord, that some of the ladies here will invite people and the word will reach their hearts. We have this men's breakfast in a couple weeks. Very important that God will do something in the men. Men are very important to the church. They have to be fired up. Then we have the women's retreat. It's coming. And that the anointing of the Spirit, I mean, you ladies, you got a guest speaker. If you don't come, you are going to miss out. I know this sister, and she's been through the fire. She's been through the fire. Godly woman, godly husband, professor. And then their daughter was murdered. And they made it through that. They've been through the fire of affliction. And yet they love the Lord and they preach and they teach the greatness of our King. And of course, we have the Brazilian mission trip. We need prayer, and we're going to be giving out prayer requests. So listen, church, we have to grow. This season is a time for growing because something is happening here, and we got to see it. What Pastor Tim's went through, what Xander and Olivia are going through, and there's a lot of things happening. But it's only when we get on our knees and we begin to intercede. So, Father, thank you for your word this morning. The seasons that we're in, Lord, we pray, God, that you would, like we sang, Lord, that you are with us. You don't abandon us. You are faithful. So, Lord, we just pray now that you would just continue the work in our hearts that is needed. For we know there's a need. Help us to be people of the word in our generation. Come alive, Lord, in our prayer life. We need you. May you be glorified, Lord, in the obedience of each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.